Lord, I thank you for our team leading us in worship. I thank you, Father, for your care and guidance of all the people here serving. I thank you for Jacob, who's trying to bless us on the sound, and Pastor Kevin, who's trying to bless us on the video, and Yemi and Monica, just so many that are wanting this experience to be one of worship. We thank you, Father, for letting us end our year in worship. Now, Lord, let us praise you through the preaching of your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Church family, it is good to be with you on this last day of the year. I first have a question to my kids, to my youth, to the children in the room. Okay, this year's 2023. Tomorrow a new year starts. Do you remember one of the gifts you asked for last year in 2022? Any of you remember any Christmas gifts you asked for in 2022? Give me one, D. For a shirt, okay? Keep it nice and keep it so specific. Okay. Elias Elliott? No, My kid's looking away like they don't want to be called on. Okay, it's okay. Now, adults, let me go to y'all. Do you remember one of your New Year's resolutions from 2023? Stop cussing. Okay, he said he remember one of them. Okay, stop cussing. Okay. Get healthy. Okay. Y'all are good. Because most people I ask have no idea what New Year's resolution they made for 2023. I definitely not if I ask them about 2022 last year. But if I asked you, tell me about a person that encouraged you or impacted you last year. Tell me about a interaction you had with somebody last year or the year before. Most of you could come up with something. Most of you would be able to tell me, oh yeah, I was at the coffee shop and had this conversation, or my friend flew in town. It's interesting how like facts and stats, even a list, can be difficult for you to remember, but a story you can grasp, a story you will remember, a story you can recall for years. I know that every year, people gas you up and get you excited about New Year's in the sense that, like, your whole life's going to change starting with January 1st. That probably won't happen. But I do want us to have a moment to look forward, to be excited about how God can move. And I'd like us to do so by looking at a story in the Bible, actually looking at a person's life and the way that this person lived for God. And I pray that this person's actions will encourage us. It'll give us some hope. It'll give us some drive. It'll give us some positive perspective as we go into 2024, hoping that God will move in our hearts in a new way. So if you would, please turn with me to Acts chapter 4. We're going to look at a person who you may not have spent much time studying. It's a name that you have breezed past, maybe. But we're going to take a little bit more of a deeper dive. Acts chapter 4, starting at verse 32. And when someone gets there, if you could tell us what page that is in the Pew Bible, that would be great. 1553. Excuse me, 1553. Page 1553. Acts chapter 4. Starting at verse 32. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerful at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. From time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Now, before we dive into understanding this brother Joseph, let me just make sure all the parents know we got your back, parents, all right? If your kid is crying, we got your back. Because we was a kid at some point and we cried in the aisle. And if you got a kid, your kid at some point has cried in the aisle. And maybe if you don't have kids, but someday will, guess what? They're going to cry in the aisle. So we cool. All right. So our brother Joseph, according to his lineage, his history, this brother is a Levite. And being a Levite means that he conducted some of the sanctuary services. He made sure that there was worship, that the temple had its worship services. And we don't know exactly what he did within that, but he came from that family. He came from that line. But he did something awesome. When he got some money from selling a field, he brought it before the apostles' feet so that it could be shared among the people. When you think of 2024 coming up, I want to encourage you, as we talk about Barnabas, to just look at some different elements of his life, and I pray that some aspect will challenge you. The first aspect I pray that will challenge you is that you be a person who is generous. Let me hear you say, be generous. Joseph goes and sells land and brings it before the apostles, and this money helps the community of God. God's people are cared for. Hear these words in 1 Timothy chapter 6. It said, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in their wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. When you are a generous family, it reminds you that God got you. It reminds you that God's got us. It reminds you that God is in control. When you give to others, you are being reminded that God gave it to you. And so generosity is a healthy expression of your Christian living. Generosity is something that actually helps you connect with God. It reminds you that what you have, it ain't yours. It reminds us that what God has given us, he's given us as stewards, not as controllers, not as owners, but as stewards. So we want to, even with what we receive, be people who say, okay, God, how can I give you glory out of this? And God can get glory through our generosity. But notice that when the Bible speaks of being generous, money is not the only way that it speaks. If I continue in that verse in 1 Timothy, and you don't have that with you, you don't even have to flip because we're going to leave there soon. But if in the future you would like to go there, it's 1 Timothy 6, verses 17 through 19. It also says, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. So you can give of your finances. That is a way that you can live like our brother Joseph did. But you can also give of yourself. Give of yourself. What does it look like in 2024 for you to be a generous person? I don't have money, Pastor. That's okay. You got self. You got you. You can be creative in how you give towards another person. You can be creative in how you walk with and see someone else experience your kindness, your love, your compassion, your generosity. See, generosity is one of those things that's good for us because generosity always is about somebody else. And in a world that's telling us to get ours, to be about ours, to do you, we need a voice that says, care for someone else. So first we see our brother Joseph is generous, but then we see that he has a name change. He goes from Joseph to the apostles change his name and start calling him Barnabas, which is a nickname for son of encouragement. Now, let me ask you this. How did you get your nickname? See, growing up in my hood, we had some nicknames going on, and it wasn't always the kindest of names. See, little Stink Stink used to stink stink. There was activities that took place that weren't always the kindest. Like I had an uncle. My whole life, it didn't even occur to me. My uncle's name, this is a childhood friend of my father that I've known my whole life. His name was Frog. I didn't know Frog's name was Leon until I was like 25. Called him Frog his whole life. But see, when you're young, you get a nickname based on your actions. You wanna be a soccer player, you wanna be called Trick Trick, because maybe you do a lot of hat tricks. I don't know. Trick Trick, no, that's a rapper, that ain't the name. You wanna be known for the things you do. But when you get older, you wanna be known for your character. What would someone nickname you today? If there was something going on, how would someone create a nickname for you? I remember I had two nicknames. A nickname that I was raised with my whole life by my family and friends, which was Bud. Bud was twofold. It was named after my father, whose name was Bud. So it was a little play on his name sometimes. But also, I looked like Bud from the Cosby Show, so everybody called me Bud in school. But there was another nickname. Bring it back to me, Lord. There was another nickname that I got because of my character was improper. So we're all in school, and I wanted to be cool, and my favorite rap group album was about to drop. And it was a group called Mobb Deep. And their album was coming out in a week. But that day, I chose to lie and be like, no, I got it already, man. I've been bumping it all week. It's amazing. Y'all ain't heard it? Oh, what's wrong with y'all? But then while we were in class, in computer class, somebody looked up that it doesn't come out yet. So my name in that class became Leon, a.k.a. Lion. You get it? Lying, Leon. All right. See, you don't want your name to be based on ill character. This man Joseph's name, his nickname, is Son of Encouragement. That's the type of person you want in your family. That's the type of person you want in your crew. That's the type of person you want near you. Son of Encouragement. We know the power of an encouraging word. An encouraging word is one where you feel supported, where you feel like your confidence is built up. An encouraging word is a word that gives you hope. It lets you believe that you can do it. And I get the beautiful joy of watching all of y'all encourage whenever we are together at children's events. You will have children playing soccer in our community or children playing basketball in our gym. And as we watch the kid, a kid can be going the wrong way, score on the wrong hoop, and y'all will be like, well, that's okay, boy, but you ran fast. You will find a way to encourage this beautiful young mind. Why? Because you know the impact of positive reinforcement. You know what an encouraging word will do to a little person. You also know what a discouraging word will do. It'll make them never want to play again. And so, if we know that an encouraging word can do that for a child, why does it stop? Why does it stop at age 6? Why does it stop at age 9? Why, as adults, do we not realize the power of that encouraging word and we keep giving it to one another? Because guess what? We still have days when we're scared. We still have days when we worry. We still have days when we're stressed. We still have days when we are overwhelmed. And the power of an encouraging word can change your entire situation. This man, Joseph, was an encourager. That's the nickname. We'll see a situation where he encourages in a minute. Continue on with me. We're going to now go to Acts chapter 9. Be generous. Be an encourager in 2024. Acts chapter 9, we're going to start at verses 1 and 2. Then we're going to jump to verses 1 through 6 and then jump to 26 and 27. Acts chapter 9. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, which was Christianity, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. Let me pause. This is explaining Saul being an attacker, a murderer, one who wants to see Christians punished. He's trying to get all the Christians together so they can experience this persecution. And then in verse 3, as he neared Damascus on his journey to go take advantage of Christians, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground. He heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up, go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." Now listen, if you caught wind of a person that was beating down folks, hurting folks, tossing them in jail and persecuting them, would you be excited to welcome them to your table to eat dinner? Would you look forward to that type of personality coming into your home, doing life with you? Not at all. So the environment amongst Christians is that's one guy we want to stay away from. Now look in verse 26. When he came to Jerusalem after having this experience, he had this experience with God. When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. Y'all, Paul writes most of the New Testament. And he has changed his life. God has changed his life. He was chosen, as my brother selected a scripture to help us see that today. God touched Saul, and we saw him change. But the leaders didn't believe it. The leaders didn't witness that. The leaders was like, "No, we know the killing, the murders that he has done." And it's Barnabas who steps up and says, "No, I've seen his transformation. No, let me testify about what he's done." It's Barnabas that speaks up, and now the apostles are willing to accept Saul. It made me ask the question, though. As believers, are we in a space to see people's lives get transformed? In 2024, if God was to touch someone's heart and see renewal take place, would we be able to say, "Yeah, she's a new woman. He's a new man"? Like, let's make sure that in 2024, we are in the lives of people beyond those that we are already comfortable with. It is great to have Christian friends. It is great to have Christian family. You need somebody with a Christian voice who can be an encouragement to you, like Barnabas. But also, you are a light. That light needs to be in the midst of darkness so that people can experience that light, have a life change, and then we can say, I remember when she was crazy. Look at her. I remember when he was wild. Look at him. Let's make sure that we are in the proximity. I'm not saying you need to delight in evil. I'm not saying you need to be isolated out there in the world. What I am saying is you shouldn't be all Christian either. Don't surround yourself with an only Christian sphere. So that means making ourselves available to our neighbors. Which, if you have beautiful neighbors like I have, that's a long haul. Some neighbors we've been talking to for years that still are like, yeah, man, it's cool. We love you, but we ain't coming to that church. That's okay. I'm outlove you. I'm going to wait patiently. I'm going to keep inviting you. I'm going to invite you into my home. When we come into the home, I'm going to pray over the food, even though you don't like to pray. I'm going to do things to welcome you into my life as you've welcomed me into your life. And as our lives keep mingling, I'm going to trust God that he's going to do something. We're going to outlast the evil and trust God for a redeeming work. So what does it look like in 2024 to be available? To be available, to make space for people not in our circle. Let's continue on. Now you're going to move two chapters forward to Acts chapter 11. Be encouraging. Be generous. Be available in 2024. Pastor, you're saying a lot of bees. I'm going to be tired. I'm going to get stung in a minute. All this. Hey, listen now. You never hear me asking you to do it all at once. You never hear me saying you're expected to do all this January 1st. What I'm praying is one of these will stick. That one of these will land in your heart. Acts chapter 11, starting at verse 19. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word among Jews. Some of them, however, went from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. You see that encourager character living out? You see people feeling as they have taken a step for Christ. Now they have this man behind them that's saying, you're doing it. You're doing a great job. I got your back. Keep walking in the ways of the Lord. Keep persevering in Christ. Something beautiful about encouraging, it's contagious. There has not been a time, even when I'm like, there's this pastor that I like, and his name is E. Dewey Smith, and he said, if I'm sitting on the podium and there's a preacher preaching, if the preacher is just struggling, I mean, he's messing up. He said, I'm going to stand up and say, now, Lord, get him. Lord, you help him. Lord, you got him. Lord, he's your son. I'm going to encourage him into what God can do, even if it hasn't happened yet. I'm trusting that God will move. I'm going to encourage him in a way as if God's already showed up. He said, so I might be on this side of him like, Lord, have your way. I know that's your son. He's here trying. He said, but if he's doing good and he's on fire and he's celebrating Jesus, I'm going to be on the other side of him like, you do that thing, boy, you go. Either way, the encouragement that flows out of you, it fills you too. I don't know if it's the way God moves, but it hasn't happened to me where I encouraged someone else and I got sad. It don't make sense, right? You're doing so great. It don't work. Last night, the only time it might have worked was last night when I'm watching the Lions game and I jump up like, we did it. And then they called the call back, you know what I'm saying? But when we had these games and you see and you win, you hit the buzzer beater shot, people's like, yeah, who gets sad? Who gets sad when they're shouting for their team, when they're encouraging their team, when they're celebrating? You see, Barnabas is this son of encouragement. But it's blessing him too, and I want you in 2024 to be blessed. Listen, 2024 is going to be an amazing year, not because God's going to give everyone a Cadillac and give all of y'all new cars, forgive all of your debt. Like, I don't know about all that stuff, and I know people promise that every year. I get a little weird when every year is our year to win. Like, every year our year to win? Every year? Really? All of us? Don't nobody lose? Like, come on, man. But what I can say, though, is that God wants to do something in you no matter what happens around you. So the car might break. Can you still encourage? Things might be messed up around. People might be going crazy at work. What's going to be your tone in that environment? See, God wants to grow us, and as we take a step in encouraging someone else, said, I see you taking that step, let me bless you too. Let me help you with your anxiety or your depression or whatever you're struggling with. As you encourage others, it will help you as well, and you will be filled. This man of faith encouraged a great number of people who were brought to the Lord. That was a quote that I was reading. I said, everyone needs recognition for his accomplishments. But few people make the need quite as clearly as this little boy who said to his father, let's play darts, I'll throw, and you just keep saying wonderful. I was encouraged by that. Continue on with me, family. Same chapter, now verse 25. I want you to grow in 2024. I want you to be generous. I want you to be available. I want you to be an encourager. Verse 25, then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them was Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, as each one was able, decided to provide help for the brothers and sisters living in Judea. This they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. This guy, Barnabas, like he does some powerful things. He takes a gift that's going to help save people from starvation. He also goes out and preaches with Saul and sees people get transformed. It's almost like one of those questions like, would you be okay being like on the Bulls winning team, but nobody really knowing your name? See, in here, it depends on like where you are with sports. Everybody know Michael Jordan. Raise your hand if you know Michael Jordan. Cool. If you know John Paxson, raise your hand. See, oh, dang, some all these sports folks. Pastor K in the back going crazy because he's from Chicago. We know. But my point is, There's always someone that takes front and center stage. Would you be okay being in the background? Before today, many of you might not have even known Barnabas' name. You might have come past that and be like, oh, Joseph Barnabas, who's this guy? This guy does mighty things for God's kingdom and is in the background. And I ask you this year, would that be one of the things that you consider as well? In 2024, might you say, Lord, I'm willing to do mighty things for your kingdom through my church. And I want the church to be in the forefront. I'm willing to be in the background to see people loved on, to see people cared for, to see people experience Jesus, to see people grow in Christ. I'm willing to be used for your glory. I'm willing to be supportive. Church family, the God of the universe used a man like Barnabas, but Barnabas ain't special. Any of us can be a daughter or a son of encouragement. Any of us can have that posture. Any of us can be a blessing unto others and watch God work in our lives. And my hope for you in 2024 is that one of these would stick with you, that you would be generous, that you would be encouraging, that you would make yourself available. You would be supportive to the things that are taking place with the people of God, that you would be available to God using you. But this last one is one that most people don't want to sign up for. Continue with me in verse 48, and then I'm going to get ready to get you out of here. 48 to 52. And we are in, I think I'm in 13. Thank you. Verse 48, chapter 13. Thank you, sister. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord, and all who were appointed for eternal life believed. Verse 49. The word of the Lord spread through the whole region, but the Jewish leaders incited the God-fearing women of high standing and the leading men of the city. They stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from the region, so that they shook the dust off their feet as a warning to them and went to Iconium. As the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Do you see two things happen that aren't supposed to line up? So Paul and Barnabas, Saul and Barnabas, Paul and Barnabas are sharing the gospel, impacting lives, and then Satan uses some folks to stir up some drama, so much so that they get booted out. I like Barnabas' story because it's not all fun. It's not all happiness. It didn't all go perfectly. He encouraged some people, saw some people come to the Lord, and he also got kicked out. They also started some drama within the camp, and he experienced persecution. But look what it says in verse 15. Does it say, and the disciples were filled with sadness? Does it say, and the disciples were filled with gloom? It says, no, even though they were kicked out, the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. And that's what I want you to experience in this 2024. I know there are going to be some situations that are going to try you this coming year. I know that there are some situations from 2023 that you bring it into 2024 that's trying you, that's heavy. Here's my goal. That your joy wouldn't be dependent upon your circumstances. That our joy would be because God is on the throne and we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we know joy is within us. It's within us. I was talking to, sorry y'all, I got too many athletic references today. I was talking to a dude that's a shooter. Playing basketball, I was listening to Stephen Curry talk about, like, that's my boy. Me and Steph was talking, kicking at the crib. People talked about how many shots he missed. He's like, yeah, today was an off day. But let me tell you how many I made. See, I feel like that's Satan's job. Satan's job is to walk around you and tell you how bad you did, how many you missed, accuse you of all the wrong you did, and then we somehow get these blinders on and we're not able to see, but wait, I made a shot. But I made a shot. But God worked through me and allowed me to experience his grace. Yeah, I fumbled something up, but God still was good in this area. Oh, that area I'm not doing good, but over here I'm okay, and I'm taking one step. You can find a place of joy in your life even when you feel overwhelmed. There's something God's doing. And in 2024, I want to invite you, I want to ask you, I want to plead with you. Even if you just got that one element, let that element be your joy for that day. Don't let the voice of Satan cloud out God moving. Don't let your circumstances around you be what dictate whether you get to experience joy or not. Our joy is in Christ and Christ alone. And I pray in 2024 that you be available to God moving and you being able to love other people, that you would be generous with your money as well as with your time and effort, that you would be an encourager. Because your words uniquely can bless someone else. It was dope for Barnabas. It could be dope for us too. Let's pray, y'all. Lord, we thank you that we get godly examples, because the ultimate example is you, Jesus. And we thank you, though, that you give us these models like Barnabas, like Stephen's, like Paul's, like David's, all these women and men who were awesome people, but they fell short. But you still let us connect with them. And we pray, Father, that today we would feel connected to Barnabas, that his story would stay with us. And throughout the coming year, we would glean from aspects of his character to help us live more for you. Equip us, Lord, that we might fight Satan, fight his lies, that we might choose your truth, and we might choose joy each day. It's in your name we pray, Jesus.